Y'all can take a seat. Can we thank our worship team this morning for leading us in worship? Amen. They rocked. Such an incredible job. How are we doing on this first day of fall? So good? I said this to my family yesterday. I was like, you know, tomorrow's the first day of fall. And they're like, no, it's already fall. How many of you subscribe to like fall starts when fall actually starts? And how many of you subscribe to like fall starts when school starts and football starts? How many of you are on that ladder where you're like, it's been fall? It's been fall for weeks, you know, like fall technically is today, but haven't we been getting some beautiful weather lately too? Beautiful weather. It's probably really nice to enjoy this beautiful weather with the football team that's undefeated. The Bears lost last week. Just providing a little update. You know what? Our teams, the Seahawks and the Bears, do match up later this year. So really looking forward to that matchup. And we've got to think of something, like if, you know, if the Seahawks win or if the Bears win or something like that. So just be thinking about that, okay? You guys are like, whatever, let's get to the message. Come on, all right? Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Again, it's good to be with all of you. We don't have any announcements off the bat. We're just going to jump right into the message. We have a shortened service today because we have our family meeting immediately following our service. But as you walked in here, hopefully as you sat down, you noticed those white cards on your chairs. Even right now during the message, I will not be offended if you are already filling those out. You can let us know how we can be praying for you, how we can be caring for you. At the end of the service, as you're walking out, before we meet back again for our family meeting, we're going to go get donuts. If you brought gifts and giving and generosity here today, you can drop those off in the back. We're not going to have our ushers come forward at all. Sound good? One more announcement. Men of Arbor, on Thursday, October 3rd at 7 p.m., we have our first Arbor Men's Night. And we're really looking forward to that. I'll send an email out about that this week. But we're looking forward to gathering back together at James DeShazer's house for some fellowship and growing in our faith on Thursday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. So let's jump into the message, though. How about that? All right, cool. Two people are excited. Let's do this. All right. We are in this series called Arbor Is, all right? And so we've been in it for a couple weeks. We've got a couple more weeks coming up. And each and every week, we're looking at this particular definition of what our church is. And what is Arbor? Well, Arbor is a community that gathers together, following Jesus, growing in generosity, and going in love. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at that first reality, the first truth, that Arbor, that our church, is first and foremost a community that gathers together. The gathering together is not optional, but this is essential for our faith right here. This is a non-optional work on the part of the church, is that we gather together, that we have this discipline built into our lives where week in and week out we gather together here. And the reason why it's essential is because this is so important for our faith. It's so important for our faith to gather together, because when we gather together, we are encouraged as we sing together and as we hear from God's word and as we spend the brief amount of time that we get together here on Sunday mornings, we are encouraged. But we're not just encouraged, we're also empowered, because God's word says that when two or three are gathered together, Jesus' spirit is present. And so he is present in a special way this morning. I hope you felt that this morning, that he is present in a special way and he empowers our faith here. And we are called here to gather, and we're called to gather more with those around as we pursue a particular calling, and that is following Jesus, okay? We do not simply gather together to socialize and eat donuts, even though I'm so looking forward to donuts later today. I cannot wait. But listen, we don't gather together to socialize. We gather together to follow Jesus. Arbor is a community that is following Jesus. And last week, we learned that following Jesus has three main goals that we are to orient our lives around, and that is being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what he did. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And today, with our family meeting scheduled right after this, and this being a shortened teaching, I just want to jump right into it. But before we get into our actual content today, let me just pray, and then we'll jump in. Father in heaven, we just commit this time to you. Lord, it's a shortened teaching, but it's an important topic of how we are to grow in generosity, and I pray that your spirit would just communicate to our hearts what you would long for us, the steps you would long for us to take, so that we would be a more generous people, so that we would experience the joy you have on offer for us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to start with a pretty personal question. Are we okay with this? Yeah, pretty personal question. Here's the personal question right off the bat. Here we go. How much more money would it take for you to be truly happy? You're like, that's pretty personal. Wow, we're getting really, how much more money would it take? How much more money would it take for you to earn per year to be truly happy? Just think about it. How much more, you don't have to answer out loud, okay? That's all right. How much more money would you like in your bank account to feel truly at peace, truly at ease? Where would you like your retirement account to be? Where would you like these things to be truly at peace? In the 1970s, there was this economist, and his name was Richard Easterlin. He studied the relationship between income and happiness, and what he discovered was both surprising and counterintuitive. One of the things he discovered was that when you look at certain populations over time, even though their average income grows, the overall happiness of those countries, of those demographic studies, don't grow. Just look at this chart right here. As income grows, happiness seems to plateau, if not slightly decline. Levels of happiness remain the same while income rises. And one of the reasons this is the case is because one of the things that was discovered was that once basic needs are met, like food and shelter and security, additional income has very minimal impact on happiness. Now, this study was done back in the 70s. Back in 2010, this study was duplicated by Richard Kahneman and Angus Deaton at Princeton University. And while they found that emotional well-being does rise with income, it actually plateaus around $75,000. Now, this is back in 2010 with inflation and stuff. I think that's like $500,000 now. But it's more now for sure. It's more now for sure. But what they discovered was that beyond that income, beyond whatever that income would be today, maybe around $100,000, happiness does not go up that much more. And yet, many of us live our lives like the secret to our happiness is to just get more. If I just had more money, if I just made more money, if I just had more time, if I was just better at this certain thing, all of this reminds me of an interview that I read a while back from John D. Rockefeller. Have you heard of this guy before? Very powerful, very important, very wealthy individual from the late 1800s, early 1900s. His wealth, his net worth in 2024 dollars would be estimated to be somewhere around $400 to $500 billion right now. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that just like blows Bezos and Musk right out of the water. He was interviewed and he was asked this question: how much money is enough? And some of you probably know this story. Do you know what he said? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, or some stories say just a dollar more. Now, I'm fairly certain that there is no one in this room that is sitting on a bank account of like $500 billion, okay? And that would answer that question with just a little bit more. Now, if you are sitting with that, talk to me afterward, okay? I've got some thoughts. But if I were to guess, listen, the main refrain for many of our hearts, when we're asked that question, how much money is enough, many of us would say right now, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And we think this way, listen, because we have a distorted view of this world. We look at the resources and time and energy and money in this world, and we look at it with a distorted lens. We look at it with what sociologists call a scarcity mindset. That this world is a bleak and tragic place. Wealth is this zero-sum game where you have to go after and get yours and secure it and lock it down and protect it and don't share it. It's all about survival of the fittest. And in this way, listen, church, of seeing the world, what we're about to hear Jesus say regarding generosity and regarding money is going to be seen as deeply counterintuitive and deeply foolish. Jesus gives us another way of seeing the world. Another way of seeing the world, listen, that he created. He created this world. Jesus' radical teaching on money and generosity. Remember, he has said things like this. Listen, freely you have received. Now freely give. He also said, watch out for greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. What Jesus taught about from his understanding about the world that he created is that his children are to walk through this world with an abundance mindset. In Jesus' worldview, there is plenty for everyone, and our MO as we go through this world is to be generous and give. And that's what I want to talk about today. that we as a community, we don't just gather together. We don't just follow Jesus. Listen, Arbor is a community growing in generosity. This is what God has called us to be a generous people. Jesus was counterintuitive in so many of his teachings, but he was especially counterintuitive on his teachings on giving of our time and our treasure and our talents and our resources. Listen to this. He said this, "It is better, it is more blessed to give than to receive." How many of you truly believe that? That it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Greek word for blessed there is this word makarios, which means happy or lucky or well off or fortunate. And so that verse there can be translated as there is more happiness in giving than receiving, or you're far happier giving than getting. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, I believe in that, like in a religious sense. I trust Jesus' words, but I don't really live my life like that's true. I don't live my life like it is truly better to give than to receive. Like, listen, my love language is gifts, and I love receiving gifts. Are you telling me there's something wrong with my love language? No, I'm not. Get this. I've been following Jesus for decades. And I think these are the teachings that when I read about them, they sound so beautiful and so good and so true. And I'm like, man, I wish everyone could get on board with this. But I find myself personally struggling to get on board with it. Anyone else there with me? Where you're like, man, if people were just more generous, life would be so much better. But listen, where does it start? Just point at yourself. That's where it starts. Generosity starts there. Over the last couple of decades, there have been all sorts of research that show that Jesus was actually right about this, that it truly is more blessed. You are more blessed when you give than when you receive. Studies have shown that people who are generous, who give freely of their time, who give freely of their money, they are happier, they are healthier, they have lower levels of depression and anxiety. They're more interested in personal growth. They've got better relationships, higher life expectancy. One study out there says they literally laugh more. And all of these were done, like across every demographic study, all of these things were true. In fact, listen to this. Hillary Davidson and Christian Smith, in this work, this book called The Paradox of Generosity, they wrote this. People rightly say that money cannot buy happiness. But money and happiness are still related in a curious way. Happiness can be the result not of spending more money on oneself, but rather of giving money away to others. The data examined here show this to be not simply a nice idea, but a social scientific fact. And so, Arbor, this is what we are called to be. This is what we want to become. We want to be a community that doesn't just gather together and follow Jesus. We want to be a community that is growing in generosity. This is the way of Jesus, and he outlines that this is the way to true happiness. Listen, church, it is scientific fact, okay? It's science, right? You guys are like, I don't want to hear anything about science. Enough of that, you know? What are some ways we can be truly generous then? What are some ways we can practically do this? Well, quickly, I've got three ways, okay? Here they are. Number one. We are called to be generous with our time. We are to be generous with our time. Now, I know that one of the most limited and precious resources in our current world right now is time. Everyone here is always so busy. We've got so much going on, which is probably why we spend so much time on our phones, right? And you're like, oh, wow, okay. That hit kind of close to home, you know? I was just waiting on that one, all right. But that's another conversation. When I talk to just about anyone here in the church, the common refrain, person after person, is just how busy we all are. We've got places to be, we've got people to see, we've got things to do, and we're just going nonstop. How can we even begin to imagine being generous with our time? And truly being generous with our time, I think, is an essential aspect of following the teachings of Jesus in a world that is constantly demanding our energy and our attention. Giving our time to others is one of the most generous and loving things that we can do for other people. Amen. Ephesians 5 says this, listen. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We are implored here by the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, to be mindful of the way that we use our time. Our time is a precious resource that is to be stewarded well. How are you stewarding your time? How do you view your time as a resource? And are you generous with your time? When's the last time you used your time in a generous way? There's no doubt in my mind that many of us understand our time as this deeply precious resource that we feel like we need to hoard and protect, and we need to cordon off time just for ourselves. Yet when's the last time that you intentionally gave of your time to volunteer here at church, or maybe in your community? Maybe in your family, maybe at your kid's school, maybe at some nonprofit. When's the last time you just gave of your time and used it for the benefit and good of others? When's the last time you gave up some of your time to a friend or a spouse or someone close to you just to sit with them and listen, not to like fix their problems, not to correct anything that they were thinking in that moment, but just to be with someone? And to be like, my time that I have right now, it's yours. For those of you that have been walking with Jesus for like multiple years, multiple decades, when's the last time you gave your time to someone else who was new in the faith and you were walking alongside them, helping them understand this Jesus that you have been walking with for decades? Or as you evaluate all of those things, can you not call to mind a time when you've used your time generously in a way that was for someone else? Giving to someone else? Does this thought even cross our minds, ways in which we can be generous with our time? But time isn't the only thing that we can be generous with. Listen, here's the second thing. We are generous with our talents. We're generous with our gifts, our skills, our abilities. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. Listen, church. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so what does this verse right here mean? Well, simply put, the gifts, the talents, the skills, the abilities that you have not been given to you just for your own benefit. God certainly wants you to use them for your own sake, but first and foremost, He wants you to use them for the sake of others. To bless your family members, to bless your friends, to bless your church. And so serving here at church, whether it's teaching in a kids' room or leading worship or working behind the scenes, helping with our building or an administrative thing, listen, using our talents and our skills here at the church helps build up our church. But I want you to think about this. Think about all of the professional skills that exist inside of this room. Think about all the different abilities and skills that exist in this room that are outside of what we might say are traditional ministry skill sets. I think about the financial skills and the technological skills and the construction skills and the interpersonal skills and the counseling skills here in this church. When's the last time you thought about using that skill set here in this family? Can you think about all the different ways in which your specific skill set, the way God has equipped you, the way God has used your story and built up your strengths? Have you ever thought about the ways in which you could come into this community and partner with us and use that skill set, not just for the sake of this community, but to make this community a healthier, more thriving, flourishing place so that we could bless those around us? Think about it. If all of us began to use creative energy and be like, how could I generously use my ability with X, Y, or Z here at the church? I know they're not asking for those things right now. If I were to ask them where they need help, they'd be like, oh, kids ministry. Yeah, of course. You know, kids ministry, kids ministry, kids ministry. And yes, we do need help in kids ministry, but there are so many other ways in which we can creatively use our gifts and our skill set for the sake of the kingdom of God. There's so many other beautiful ways we can do that. And so how can you be generous with your talents? How can you bless others with them? And you're like, man, I use them at work all day. I don't want to exasperate myself and use them in the evening and stuff. And listen, I understand the importance of having boundaries and making sure that we are caring for ourselves. But I also think about Jesus' teaching about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And I think about those individuals in that parable and what happened to the individual who buried his talent. He lost it. It got distributed to other people, where those with more talents, they just went and freely, vulnerably, generously gave them away, and more was added to them. There's a principle there. There's a principle of generosity there, and we're going to talk about it here in a second, because we're not called to just be generous with our time and our talents. We're also called to be generous with our treasure, with our money. We talk about being generous, and naturally, we're not just going to talk about time and talents. We're going to talk about what makes everyone really comfortable on a Sunday morning at church, which is talking about money and treasure. But listen, it's so important that we talk about this. It really is so important that we talk about this, because the way that we interact with our money reveals so much about our hearts. So much about our hearts. Matthew 6:4, Jesus said this: "You cannot serve both God and money." You can't serve both. And then in the Proverbs, in the Old Testament, in chapter 11, we read this. And this is that principle I was alluding to in that last point. "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, but the one who waters will himself be watered." And so these two verses right here highlight a core biblical truth about giving and generosity, that generosity leads to blessing. And I'm not up here teaching some prosperity gospel, like if you give a bunch of money, you will be made wealthy. But listen, one thing we see in the scriptures is that blessing follows those who are generous. And this doesn't mean that like all of a sudden your savings account is going to be flying through the roof and just over. But listen, there is something true. There is something true. That wisdom is woven into the fabric of the universe. And God has created this universe. And one of the things he has done is he has woven into the fabric of the universe this idea of being generous. And that we are blessed and we are enriched when we are generous with all sorts of things, with our time, with our talents, and with our treasure, with our money. But given the scarcity mindset that we highlighted earlier, it's easy to think of our money as something that we have to hold on to tightly, that we have to protect. But the scriptures teach us that true freedom comes when we open our hands and live and give generously. Hallelujah. When we loosen our grip on our treasure, we make space for God to bless others through us. And we ourselves experience the deeper joy that Jesus proclaimed when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So what does it look like to be generous? What are some practical ways that we as a church can be generous with our money and our treasure and our resources? Well, I'm going to specifically talk as the pastor of this church. And what I'm going to talk to all of you about is what we're calling the generosity pathway, okay? A generosity pathway, which essentially shows on a spectrum steps that we can take as followers of Jesus with our money. And so here at Arbor, listen, this is a teaching that I would share right now with all of you who call Arbor your church home. If you call Arbor your church home, then this teaching is for you. If you're new or you're visiting, this isn't for you. You can take note, and if you ever join us in our family and our journey, then take note of this. But here are a few steps that we can take, because I think when we look throughout the scriptures, we have this big picture of what it means to be generous. And if you've been raised in the church, chances are you've heard, well, what do Christians give in the church? Well, we tithe. We give 10%. But we don't ever see something so prescriptive in the New Testament as to you must give 10%. Rather, we see this gradient spectrum of growth going deeper and deeper toward that end goal of intentional and sacrificial giving. So maybe for some of you, you've never given to the church here before. You've never given to Arbor. You come here, you serve, you faithfully worship with us, but you've never given. Your first step would be just giving, just one time here at the church. And you can do that back in the boxes. You can do that online. But just practice what it means to be generous with your resources to God. Would you give back to God just a little bit of what he has so abundantly and generously given you? But maybe that is you. Maybe you have given once in a while. Here would be my challenge to you for a next step. Would you then consider giving regularly, each and every month? Would you build it into the habit of your living and your discipleship, where you have every single month set aside time and money where you give that away to the Lord? You give that back, whether that's done online through regular giving, through our online thing on Planning Center, or here at church, whether you bring that. But each and every week, you have made it up in your mind, and you've said, God, a portion of this is yours. Because one of the most beautiful things, the only way I know how to protect against greed and against wanting more and wanting more and wanting more, is the practice of giving some of it away. Because what that does is that loosens our grip on something that we can hold so tightly. And you might think to yourself, that's scary. You're right. It is really scary. In fact, you want to talk about something being really scary. Talk about that next step. For those of you who have been giving regularly, I would encourage you to begin to consider, what would it look like to begin to give away 10% of my income every single month? What would it look like to release that amount of money back into the hands of the Lord, back into the church, back into a nonprofit, into some ministry that I believe in, where I could be able to give that money away, the money that God has so blessed me with? You know, you look around this space and you look around our building and our incredible staff and the resources that we have here. Everything that you see here, we have here because of your generosity. It is because of your giving. And I just want to say thank you for that. I would not be able to be up here preaching God's word week in and week out if it wasn't for your generosity. And your generosity supports this ministry. And we're going to talk about this in the family meeting. Your generosity supports other ministries that we support. But we're only able to do that through the sacrificial giving of others. And there are some of you here that give so sacrificially. If that's you and you're like already at that spot, like you're crushing it with 10%, what we do see in the New Testament, we don't see a prescriptive, you must give 10%. But what we do see in the New Testament is this ideal of being a cheerful, sacrificial, intentional giver. That's the ideal we see in the New Testament. And that's going to be different for every believer. But listen, what it's not going to be is it's not going to be begrudgingly, it's not going to be sad, and it's also going to be out of faith. There's going to be this sense in which, man, like, God, I'm really testing you right now. I'm scared to give this. I'm scared to give, whether it's your time, whether it's your talents, or whether it is money, I'm scared to give this away. Would we trust God? One thing I know about God is God is faithful, and he never changes. And he promises us, he says here in his word, that it is that we are more blessed when we give than when we receive. And so my simple challenge to all of you at the end here is this. You are not a better Christian if you're more generous. You're not. And on that scale and that list of things, you're not a better Christian the further along you go. But listen, I believe you'll be a more joyful Christian the more generous you are. That you will be more full of happiness and joy the more generous you are with your time, your talents, and your treasure. Would we consider what next step God is asking of us? What next step he is inviting us on this pathway? And would we respond to God's call to live generously? Because, Arbor, that's what we are. We are a community that is growing in generosity. Would we take that challenge today? Would you stand with me as I pray? Father in heaven, we come before you, and we are grateful that you are a generous God. We're grateful, Lord, that you have freely given to us. Father, that there is nothing in this world that we lack, that you have made a way for us where there was no way by generously giving us your Son. I think about the air that we breathe and the resources that we do have, God. Have you made a way and provided all along? So, Lord, I pray right now that as you challenge us to be generous, God, that we would truly take to heart and that we would consult with you and invite your Spirit to challenge us this morning. Lord, where would you want us to be more generous? Is it with our time? Is it with our talents? Is it with our treasure? God, we want to be available to you, and we want you to use this church in powerful ways in this community. And Lord, you have over these last 7 or 8 years, you've used it in such a powerful way in creating such a generous people, Lord. We pray that you would continue that. Would you continue to support the ministry here, God, through the generosity of those gathered together? We thank you for being a generous God, and we pray this all in your powerful name. Amen.